Throughout our study of the book of Hebrews, we have noted the emphasis on being steadfast in our faith. This warning against developing unbelief is seen throughout the book, passages like Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 15. In chapter 6 and in chapter 10, it talks about the need for a faith that endures. In chapter 11 that we just finished, we were reminded of how many in the Old Testament scriptures had this kind of faith. So the emphasis continues now with our own life of faith described as a race. We pick up with chapter 12 and verse 1, and we notice that it mentions that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses refers to those mentioned in the previous chapter, like those Old Testament saints such as Abraham, Moses, and others. In what way are they witnesses, though? And while the word can mean like a spectator, it's not likely used that way here. That would suggest they are now looking down on us from heaven. But there is no indication that the dead know what is going on earth, according to Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5. But while they may have memory of what happened, Luke 16 and verse 28, their attention is focused upon their present condition. Again, we go back and look at the scriptures, Revelation 7 verses 9 through 17. So this word can also refer to those who bear witness. By their lives, they have borne witness to the value of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 40. And by their lives being exemplary, they encourage us in running the race of faith. So as we seek to follow the footsteps of others who have successfully run the race of faith, I believe there are three things in this chapter that are pointed out that are necessary and are, as I said, they're presented in this chapter as we study. Excuse me. The first one is we need to lay some things aside. The writer says in verse 1, therefore also we, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Note the comparison to running here. He talks about a runner who wants to win. He's willing to lose weight, as much weight as possible, without hurting his performance. He wears clothes that are light and allows freedom of movement. So excess weight, chafing of clothing, etc., can be the difference between victory and defeat. And we also must lay some things aside. Every weight he talks about. An example of that would be things that slow down our spiritual progress. We go to Luke chapter 21, and the writer there talks about such things as carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Also anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. Colossians 3, 1 Peter 2, and James 1 talk about. But he says such things make running the race difficult, if not impossible. He goes on to talk about the sin which so easily ensnares us. Any and all sin should be laid aside. So from the context, I understand the sin to be the sin of unbelief. This writer has written to encourage Christians to be faithful to Christ and Christ's covenant. We've seen warnings against unbelief in chapter 3 of Hebrews. When one no longer believes, the race is lost, according to Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 39. So with full assurance of faith, and with every hindrance laid aside, then we can run the race of faith, as God has intended for us to. But as we comprehend the true nature of the course that is set before us, we can appreciate the need for the element of endurance. He says in verse 1 that we need endurance. He says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This race of faith is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not a short run. It doesn't require one quick burst of energy in which the race is soon over. This race requires a sustained effort over a long period of time. Endurance is a necessary quality. Jesus often taught his disciples concerning the need for endurance, or in other words, patience. He taught it in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. He taught it in preparing his disciples for for the limited commission in Matthew chapter 10, and in his discourse on the Mount of Olives in Matthew 24. This writer wrote to the Hebrews and had stressed this virtue earlier, in which he appealed to the example of Abraham in chapter 6, and he quoted from the book of Habakkuk in chapter 10. And we can develop this kind of patience with the help of the Scriptures. It's what Paul tells us in Romans 15 and verse 4. And as we read of the faithfulness of God who fulfills His promises, as we read of the ultimate end of those who persevered in faithfulness, Paul, again, he wrote that eternal life would be given to those who, by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality, Romans 2 and verse 7. So therefore, endurance is required for our successfully running this race of faith. Equally important is where we have our mind focused as we run this race. The third point is that we need to focus on Jesus. In verses 2 and 3, he says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." We have to look to Jesus. We must. Our focus has got to be upon the Lord as we run this race. Hebrews 11 talks about that we might glance at others, but we are to gaze upon the Lord, our Savior. That comes from the Believer Study Bible. Now, as suggested by this formula for success, if you want to be distressed, look within yourself. If you want to be defeated, look behind you. If you want to be distracted, look everywhere but ahead. If you want to be dismayed, then look ahead and consider how difficult the way may be. But if you want to be delivered, then look up, as Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 tell us. He goes on in chapter 2 and verse 10, if you'll remember, and he talks about, that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Revelation chapter 1, verses 8 and 11 tells us that he is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus has blazed the trail for us by running this very race himself. Chapter 6 of Hebrews tells us that as a forerunner, he has entered the heavenly sanctuary. Chapter 10 tells us that he has opened a new and living way for us. And now he helps us to finish this race ourselves, Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Jesus succeeded in running the race that was set before him by looking at the joy that was set before him. That joy that inspired him was likely that privilege of being seated at God's right hand, Psalm 16, verses 9 through 11. And Peter spoke of that in the sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And with the anticipation of such joy, Jesus then endured the cross, the physical pain, and despised the shame, the emotional and spiritual agony. But just as Jesus looked at the joy that was set before him, we also have to look to Jesus. We must consider him. We have to consider how he endured, not only on the cross, but even before that, Hebrews 11 and verse 3. How he endured such hostility from sinners against himself. And this hostility is something that he experienced frequently. If you take the time to read through the Gospels, then you'll see time and time again that he suffered hostility at the hands of the Pharisees and the scribes and others. But we need to consider him. Meditating upon our Lord will prevent us from becoming weary and discouraged in our souls. You know, we cannot run with endurance if we become weary and discouraged. But as we consider our Lord and His example, in itself a form of waiting upon the Lord, Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says, "We shall not grow weary nor faint." So I want to suggest to you that the running this race of faith requires both negative and positive elements. Negatively, we have to lay aside the things that are going to hinder us. On a positive side, we have to keep our focus on Jesus, who has made our salvation possible. But in both cases, the Word of God, the Bible, is crucial. It's vital for our success in this race, because in it we learn what sort of things that we have to lay aside. And in it we learn about our Lord, what He endured, how His example should inspire us. So let me ask you a question. In your race of faith, have you lost your endurance? Have you grown weary in running your race of faith? I want to suggest to you to let the Bible help you to examine what baggage you should leave aside. Let the Bible help you learn about Jesus, and His example, His own example, can encourage you to continue on with perseverance. Remember what we read earlier in chapter 10 and verse 36? The writer says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." I want to thank you for being with me this morning. It may be that you would like to talk about this lesson or other lessons further. I would welcome any comment or conversation that you may have. You can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can visit with us at the Eastside Congregation. We'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study. Excuse me. And we'll meet at 10 a.m. for a period of worship service. And then again this evening at 5 p.m. for another period of worship service. We also have a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We're in the Old Testament on Wednesdays and the New Testament on Sundays. But we would love to have you visit with us. And if you have any questions, I'd be willing to sit down and discuss with you. If you have any disagreements or questions, though, just remember to bring your Bible and be willing to have an open-minded Bible study about God's Word. That's all I ask. Again, thank you for being with me, and I look forward to being with you next Lord's Day morning.